Well, like I said at the beginning of our time together, it's been quite a week, hasn't it? And I wondered, whoops, what would happen if I dropped my iPad? That's what I wondered. Maybe that's a sign from the Lord. Don't, just let it go. I actually heard from a lot of you. I wrote a message about the election on Wednesday, I sent a message out, and a lot of people wrote back. And then I was in conversation with different folks, and I know that there's a lot of really big feelings in our hearts and in our environment right now. And some of them are, you know, feelings of elation, like, oh yeah, this is what I wanted. Or some people are like, you know, we did the best we could, and this is what we're going to do. There are people that were disappointed, of course, and then there are a lot of people that are very worried, and they're worried about what they've heard could possibly happen, what they anticipate might happen in the midst of all that. Some of them are neighbors. You know, folks who are federal employees are, you know, trying to make sense of the whole, you know, what about Schedule F and how does that go in the future? There are people who are immigrants, who are neighbors. You just saw the numbers in terms of the number of Spanish-speaking folks who are our neighbors. There are a number of people who are from Africa. We have a lot of folks who are here from Ethiopia who are our neighbors, So we're all kind of in a place that is challenging. And in fact, we've been talking about this, anticipating this for a while, right? Because we've been talking about the need for, regardless of where we might find ourselves on particular issues or circumstances, that we are still children of God and neighbors. And that the work that we have to do as the children of God ourselves is to, you know, kind of carry Jesus into this, including the work of kindness, right? We have been working our way through this whole instruction by Jesus to do unto others, right? How does that go? To do unto others, right, including otters. If you're not sure what I mean by that, that's okay. You missed something. And it was a lot of fun. We had otters everywhere. It was a lot of fun. So we have been working through the idea that we need to hold each other in respect and humility, that we need to work in compassion, that we need to offer love to people and respect to others, and that we need to love. I kind of remember Jesus talking about that a lot, right? That the whole business is to love God with everything that we have and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Those three together. God on top. So with all those big feelings right now, what I have to say is it'll all be over in a day or two. No? No. No. We have 4 years at least, of figuring out the current administration, the next administration, right? And we'll have to figure out what is good. Yay, this is great. We want this. And what we need to kind of say, no, this is wrong. Okay? And figure out how that works in a place where we might not necessarily agree with things. And we need to be able to kind of speak to that in the honesty of it, but also to do that with respect and kindness and humility and grace and grace and grace and grace. I've been a pastor for a very long time. I was joking with someone recently that I've lost my new pastor smell. You know, you get the new car and you're like, man, this is all right. And then French fries enter into the situation, you know, and you're like driving down the road and you're smelling the Doritos and the French fries. And I don't have a really good diet, apparently, you know, so. I got a new car a few years ago. It was my first new car. You know, I think I've had 2 new cars in my entire life, and it was, and so I told my kids, you're not going to get in the car and eat food, and that lasted for a month. I was so proud in that month. But then after that, you know, kind of, I don't know why I'm telling you all this. It's just, you know, there it is. But I've been a pastor for a while, and the benefit of that for me sometimes is I've seen some stuff. And sometimes the stuff that I have seen, although some of it I would like to unsee, and some of it I would like to be able to forget, or some of it I'd like to return to over and over again. But some things you learn from, right? That's the power of experience. Do you remember the first time you were in love? It was probably in high school, right? Maybe middle school. Lots of love happens in middle school, right? Oh, I love him so much. He is so beautiful. She's the best thing ever. And then, you know, it's all raw and new, right? But then after you've kind of experienced that a few times, you learn some things. Like, hey, it didn't quite work out that way. Maybe this is what's really going on. Several years ago, a church that I served, this was before I actually served them, was doing really well. And they were identified as one of the vital churches in the Virginia Annual Conference. It was kind of a big deal at the time, and they were doing really well. It was a relatively small church, and but they had a lot of energy going and a lot of good things that were happening. And they got into a situation where they looked at their building, which was an older building. It was very, very old. It was used as a field hospital in the Civil War, that building was. And it was kind of small, and they thought, well, maybe we need a new sanctuary. And so they began that conversation. Could we afford a new sanctuary? Can we put money into putting this thing together? Does this sound familiar, Sterling United Methodist Church? Right? And so they did have that conversation over and over again, and they came to a place where they decided, maybe we need to do this, but there are people in the middle of it that were not necessarily convinced that this was a really good idea. Maybe we shouldn't do this. And so they formed up into, now this church may have never done this, but they formed up into 2 different groups, as churches are wont to do. Oh, we got this. Oh, you're wrong about that. And so they came to a place where momentum was moving. They had an opportunity to buy a plot of land and to construct a new sanctuary on that plot of land. So it came to a conversation inside of the church. They had what's called a charge conference, except it was a charge conference for everyone. All right. So those of you who are Methodist nerds know that's where big decisions are made. Not that anyone in here is a nerd. Forgive me for that. But, you know. So they got the whole church together. They said, we have this opportunity. We need to vote on what we're going to do. And people got up and they passionately said, oh, well, this is the reason to do this. And people got up on the other end and passionately said, oh, this is the reason not to do this. And it got a little ugly and it got a little intense, but they came to the place where, you know, it was time for the vote. So they ran the vote and it was 49 and 51. There was a clear winner, right? Right? Now, from the back came a man who asked to speak. His name was Hartley. It was his older name. He's a lovely, lovely person. He just recently passed. A good friend, Hartley, had been to me. And Hartley had the unfortunate nickname of Grumpy. Okay. And Grumpy was this incredibly kind person, but his resting face always made you thought that he was not happy. Okay? That's how he got the name, Grumpy. And he could be totally in love with you, and it would be... Grumpy stood up, and he said, if we do this, we're going to lose something that has been at the heart of how we've been successful, which is the community. If we move forward with this, and there was a clear winner, 49-51, there was a winner. He said, if we do this, we will tear ourselves apart. And what we have here that has been good and functioning and moving well will not be here and will fall apart. Please, let's set this aside. There was a winner. Someone prevailed in that, but there was also a person that was there who said, you know, I think that there is a value much greater than being right or winning. I'm so thankful for that moment because it was the right thing to do. I lived through the backside of that. As I said, I served that church later. Now, to hear people tell that story, it's funny. To hear people to tell that story, they would tell it like, well, we won. And then other people who were on a different kind of coin to that would say, we won. They couldn't remember what the vote was. They couldn't remember who won the vote. But I think they were right. They won. Now today, we are in a series about generosity, and the focus for today is gratitude. We're coming up on Thanksgiving, right? We're almost to that place of being gathered together. In my family, we do that tradition that many families do. We say what we're thankful about. And at least now we know it. And, you know, most of my kids have rehearsed something, you know. It's like, oh, I know the question's coming, so I better have something to drop on there, you know. And oftentimes it will be a joke, or sometimes it will be very, very serious, you know. Generosity is a real important disposition of heart, and it's fed by gratitude of recognizing what we have. There is so much that we can say we don't have. I don't have this. I want that. Wouldn't it be cool if we had this? Or if only they would have not done that. If only, if, you know. But the reality sometimes is you don't get everything that you want as much as we were told different when we were three, right? But then when we find ourselves looking at something like community, when we find ourselves looking at the reality of the relationships that we have with each other, and the possibility even of that, even as we stand in disagreement or even as we work on something common together that we might not necessarily agree about every detail. So today, I'm really mindful in the midst of the challenge that we find ourselves, not only just as a country, but as a church, as an individual people. I am so thankful that there are men and women who would stand up and say, let's not tear ourselves apart about this. We're going to disagree. We've got to figure out how to move forward. But I'm so thankful for you, who I might have problems with the way that you see things. But I'm so thankful for you. For you. And that is in part a recognition of the value that God invests into you as well. That's my girl, God would say. She's my neighbor, I would say. I'm thankful for Sterling Middle School, for the work that has been going on. I used to work in the schools. I had an office in the middle schools. Middle schools are hard. They're hard places, right? And middle schoolers are not human beings. They stop being human beings at some point. And then they come back to us. They do. They really do. If I offended any middle schoolers in here, I am so sorry. Maybe that's the new pastor smell welling on. I am thankful. I'm thankful for this church, for the way in which it has stuck with it for 150 years, for the way in which, now, have we been perfect? Of course we've been perfect. We're the Sterling Church, right? But not. I'm thankful for the people. I'm thankful for the visitors in the room, and I'm thankful for the people that walked up to me the very first day I got here and said, I've been here for 40 years, and welcome. I'm thankful for the life that God has given to us in this place. I am thankful for the ground that we stand on. I'm thankful for the roof, even when it leaks. Right? I'm thankful for the life that I have been given. I'm thankful for the resources that I have. I don't have everything I want, but I've gotten so much. And many of us have too. So I'm thankful. I invite you to be thankful. What is it that you're thankful for? And how is it, out of that gratitude, that you're willing to participate in life and share in the needs of others? That's the question, the homework. I'll reach out to you some more with more homework. But for now, I say all this to you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.